My name's Michelle Owu, and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The purpose of the research is to compile a portrait of contemporary Britain. Could you, the date is the 23rd of July now, 2009, and the time is 11 minutes past midnight. Could you tell me, please, your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name is Dave Urch. I'm 41 years old, and I'm currently living in Ipswich.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
How did you get here this evening?
I came on my motorbike, which is my preferred method of transport. Yeah.
What kind of bike do you
try? I ride a Triumph Speed Triple, 1050 Speed Triple. Yeah.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me?
I am wearing my full leathers, the Triumph branded leathers, because I'm patriotic. I like Triumph. I like British bikes, basically. So, I just like motorcycles. Like everything to do with them. So, yeah.
How long have you been riding bikes?
I've been riding for 25 years now. Yeah, constantly.
What is it about bikes that you love so much?
The freedom, the fact that I can go anywhere and I can be virtually anywhere within Europe within a day or two, and. I've travelled all the way down to southern Portugal, Italy, Czech Republic, been all over Europe on my motorbike, and it's just the freedom of being able to go places. And when you get there, if there's another biker there, regardless of where he's from, you can talk to him, which is something you don't get when you go in a plane or a car or whatever. So it's the brotherhood as well as the freedom. Yeah.
How did you hear about this project?
I saw it advertised on Sky Arts. I occasionally tune into that to watch the concerts and, you know, things like Pink Floyd and Peter Gabriel and what have you. And it was advertised during that. So, yeah.
What was it about the project that made you want to take part, do you think?
Anthony Gormley. I think his work is inspiring. He is basically the leading sculptor in this country at the moment, and probably the world. It's just an inspiring artwork that he produces. You know.
What is it about his work that you find particularly inspiring?
It's the solitude of the pieces as much as anything. The fact that they're built or designed from life, but they're so devoid of life, but they're projecting life, kind of thing. It's always the same stance, and it personifies the human race, that we're here for a fleeting moment. But humankind will live on, kind of thing, and his sculptures will live on for hundreds of years.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a graphic designer. I work for a motorcycle import company, motorcycle part importing. So it's kind of a dream job where I do one thing that of the design side of it about. The other part of my love, the motorbikes, so it's quite a good job.
Was that coincidental? How did that come about?
It was kind of coincidental, because I was trained as an architect, architectural technician, and because of that training, and I also did a degree in graphic design. Because of the two jobs together, I got a job working for a company that manufactured insulation of all things for houses and what have you. So the two disciplines were able to join together and work, so provided me with a decent job. Unfortunately, I was made redundant from there, and this job just came up in the paper at the right time. And I jumped at the chance to take it, really. Yeah.
So, can you tell me a little bit more about what that role involves?
My main job is producing a catalogue, because we import everything from tyres to batteries to nuts and bolts, you know, everything for a motorbike basically, replacement parts. So there's a big catalogue with, I think it's 30 odd thousand products in it, and it's that is the main crux of the job, that that takes 6 months to produce. But on top of that and in between it all, I do advertising that goes in magazines, and I prepare exhibition work for you know, posters and displays for exhibitions. So it's quite involved. It keeps my creative spirit alive, and as I say, it does give me the opportunity, because the company that I work for, they sponsor one of the race teams in British Superbikes, so it gives me the opportunity to go to races whenever I want to as well. So that's quite convenient. Yeah.
Whereabouts do you go to the races?
I like to. Because I'm originally from Lincolnshire, I always go to Cadwell Park for the British Superbikes, and living in Ipswich, I go to Snetterton for the British Superbikes. This weekend I'm off to Donington for the MotoGP to see Valentino Rossi win again. But I've been to France, I've been to the Czech Republic. Last year I was at the Czech Republic to see the MotoGP, and I'll just go if I've got the money and the time. I will go and watch racing, and occasionally do the odd track day myself as well. So, yeah, it's quite interesting.
Do your colleagues and supporters know that you're doing this?
Not many. I told a couple of people at work today, because I was going to be on the radio. I was interviewed last week, which was being broadcast today on the local radio station. Some of them didn't know what it was about, but I explained it, and my girlfriend thinks I'm quite mad because she's not artistic at all. But my family are quite enthusiastic about the whole event, and most of my friends are quite up with it. You know, they're hoping that I have a good time, but none of them will be watching because of the lateness of the hour, really. So,
how did you explain to your girlfriend why you wanted to take part in this?
Well, I just told her that I was. I didn't actually she said, "You must be mad," and when I explained what it was, she didn't try to dissuade me or anything. I just said, "This is what I want to do. It's to be involved in a piece of art, a piece of history, is something quite remarkable." And she said that it was something that she expected me to do anyway, because of my character, I think. So,
how would you describe yourself as a person, as a character?
I would say I'm quite shy and retiring, but my girlfriend says that I crave attention because I always ride a motorbike that's different from the norm. Or loud or something like that. She says I'm very easygoing because I'm able to talk to anybody, I feel that's true. I don't judge people unless they do something that I don't like. You know, it's I take everyone on face value. If they're nice to me, I'm nice to them. You know, it's live and let live attitude. Yeah.
What were the three adjectives that you chose to describe yourself for the blog? Can you remember?
I don't think I chose adjectives. I just said over the moon. So.
How did you feel when you heard you had a chance?
I was over the moon. I was delighted. I thought this is unbelievable. I've had a space good look in the last 12 months. I listened to a radio station called Planet Rock. And they play the kind of music that I enjoy listening to. And last year, round about this time, I won two tickets to see Jethro Tull, which was the first thing I've ever won in my life, I think. And then 6 months later, I entered another competition for a Pink Floyd and Gerald Scarfe competition. And Gerald Scarfe is another one of my favourite artists, and Pink Floyd are my favourite group. And the prize, well, I'd forgotten about it, but I got a phone call saying you've won, and I thought, oh, that's nice, a nice book by Gerald Scarfe signed by him. And I looked into it on the internet, and I found out that it was limited to 300 copies worldwide, with 10 paintings by Gerald Scarfe in it, and also signed by Roger Waters from Pink Floyd. And so this was the third bit of good luck that I've had in the last 12 months, so I was very happy about being chosen.
How does it feel being part of this relatively small group of people?
I feel privileged. It's an honour to be chosen for a start. I know that it's a lottery to be chosen. It's just by chance as much as anything. But to be involved in a piece of work that Anthony Gormley is in charge of, he's creating it as much as anybody, it is a privilege, because it will go down, it will be recorded in history and everything. And as Andy Warhol says, it's my 15 minutes, but it's an hour. So, you know, it's...
How do you feel about that, doing an hour compared to 15 minutes?
I've got no problems with it. I mean, it's good that it's an hour, because the time may drag up there, or it may fly by. So, but for it to be an hour, it encapsulates what humankind is coming to. You know, everything's measured by the watch and all this kind of stuff. So it's I think it's a good length time to be up there. Yeah.
What are you actually going to do with your hour on the plinth?
I kind of wanted to make a protest, but riding a bike down here makes it hard to carry a banner or a placard or anything like that. So I'm unfortunately not going to do much. I'm going to be wearing my full leathers and my helmet with a dark tinted visor, and I'm just going to watch people. They won't be able to see my face, but I'll be able to see theirs. So it's, I want to be the biker on the plinth. I mean, there may be other bikers coming on the plinth, but you know, I the mysterious black dressed one or something like that.
Does that help you as a shy person? You mentioned earlier on that you describe yourself as a bit of a shy person.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm a shy person who does crave attention, I suppose, but yes, I think it will help. I mean, it's like how Jim Morrison used to turn away from the crowd to be able to sing properly. And I do get tongue-tied when I'm in front of people, so, and I think it just might add an air of mystery to be wearing a dark visor and whatever. So it's,
are you going to reveal your face at any time?
I may do to have a drink of water occasionally, but I don't know, if I can get away with it without showing it, then I will do. Yes, yeah.
Just picking up on something that you said a while ago, you thought about protesting. What would that protest have been about?
The inequality with which bikers are viewed by not only the government but the public, the BBC. With their lack of coverage of motorcycle racing on their sports channels, even on the news. The only time bikers ever seem to get mentioned on the news are when there's been a horrific accident or something like that, not the good that bikers do, such as every Christmas, every Easter. There's always hundreds of charity runs going on throughout the country, to take presents and gifts to children in hospices and such like events. But with the government, I think there's a lot of inequality as far as bikers are concerned when it comes to taxation of the vehicle, because I get taxed around about £60 a year for to ride my bike on the road, whereas some cars get taxed only £35. And when the government is trying to push its green credentials, cycling is one of the most green forms of transport, and we're not encouraged to ride motorbikes, especially with especially in London, where the Westminster Council is now charging bikers to park their bikes, which is ridiculous, in my opinion.
How would you explain this treatment of bikers? What's behind it, do you think?
Bikers have, in the past, back in the 60s and the 50s and what have you, they were very rebellious and very... They were looked down upon by everybody because they used to race their bikes up and down main streets and what have you. And I think it was also a culture that came across from America with biker gangs like the Hells Angels, etc. But nowadays, to ride a motorbike, you've got to... generally, on the whole, to ride a modern motorbike anyway, you need a bit of money, because the motorbike itself costs thousands of pounds. The kit that you have to wear can cost thousands of pounds, and generally motorbikes nowadays, you can't just throw a spanner at it and work on it yourself. You've got to take it to a garage, so you're spending thousands of pounds keeping the bike running. So it's not a poor man's transport anymore, which it was when I started back in the 80s. I was 16, I just had enough money to buy a motorbike, keep it running myself, and you just bought a £40 leather and a £20 helmet and off you went. But nowadays it costs hundreds of pounds just to get your license, let alone actually getting the bike.
How did you feel when you got your first bike at 16?
Scared. It was it was quite nerve-wracking, because 30 miles an hour felt, you know, so fast. It was crazy, but it was great. It was the freedom again. And back then you could fill your tank for £2 and ride for the whole week on £2 for the fuel, so it was a great time back then. Less cars on the road as well, so it made it easier.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Just that I'm looking forward to getting up there, to be honest. I've been looking forward to it since I received the email, and it's come around pretty quickly, and I'm ready to go up there, really.
Thank you very much.
Okay.